most mornings, Lisa and I have breakfast together. We have coffee. It's not just any coffee, it's the best coffee in Kiala. We have toast from the bread maker, and we sit at our breakfast bar overlooking the bush, and we eat breakfast together, and we talk together, and it's so nice. It's such a wonderful setting. You almost, as soon as you go to bed, you want to wake up and have breakfast. And what it does is it wakes you up and it nourishes you. And it's about the experience. And when we come now to open up the Word of God, I want you to look at that in a similar way, that it's the Word of God is food for your soul. It nourishes you. But it's more than that. It's the experience of being here together, of opening up yourself, opening up your spirit, for the Holy Spirit to take the words that are read, the words that are spoken, and to make them come alive in your heart, to minister into your life, into the experience or the circumstance that you're facing right now. So it's nourishment. It's the experience. And I just pray today, Holy Spirit, that you speak to every heart. And then as you go from this place, you don't wait till next Sunday for your next meal. That you're feeding and nourishing yourself through the Word of God, through those experiences throughout the week. Amen. All right, God bless you. Please take your seats. Thank you, band. So this morning, we're going to have a slide up on the screen. If we could put that up. Thanks, Suze. If you want to turn in your Bibles, it's Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. We're going to read from the NIV. And it was another interesting week. I had a couple of funerals to do this week. And that's always an interesting, challenging week. And sort of leading up to that, it's like the Lord just dropped this scripture into my heart, which was so appropriate for the week that I had ahead. And in verse 1 it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Amen. There was a commentary that summed up that passage and put it this way. In one of Raphael's pictures, the clouds, when looked at miniaturely, are seen to be composed of little cherub faces, and those who have already witnessed and suffered for God gather around us as a great cloud, like the crowded amphitheatres in the Olympic Games. We are still in the arena. Probably every blow and sigh are beheld and heard by the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn. What an incentive to lay aside all cumbrances, that is, whatever in your life that may be hindering you, and the sin that besets you. But above all, we must put away the sin of unbelief, which can best do by looking unto Jesus. If you look at that word witnesses, one of the meanings for that is also martyr. So in a sense, you've got this great cloud of people of the faith. And if you go back a chapter in Hebrews 11, it talks about the great heroes of the faith throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, heroes that did incredible things for their God. And many of them would have suffered, even died, given their lives as martyrs. And it paints this picture of this great cloud of witnesses, those that have gone before us, the heroes of the faith that are cheering us on in the race that we now run. It talks about casting off every burden and offense and everything that would stop or hinder us from running the race that is set before us. And it also talks about that this race that we run, that is set before us, that the word race there is, it talks about the word as it's a contest, it's a conflict, and it's a fight. And we need to understand today that we're in a race which is actually a conflict. It's a fight. It's a contest. I went to watch some of my grandkids play sport, and when they're really little, it's just about, say, basketball, for example, it's just about teaching them the rules of the game. There's no winner, there's no loser. And that's good at that age, but when kids get older, they want to win. They want a contest. They want to win a trophy. They want to know that when there's 3 seconds to go, that they can, and they're 1 point behind, that they can shoot that basket and be the hero. And so they actually want a contest. And that's what this word is talking about here. The race, it's a contest, it's a conflict, it's a fight. That there's evil forces that are after you. There's good forces that are after you. And God is wanting to draw you so that the race that you run, the life that you lead, is to bring glory to His name, not for the enemy to come and take you out, which is His plan. So it's a contest. So I'd like us to look at this contest, this race that we are in, that He has set before us, as your amazing race. Anyone seen that show, The Amazing Race, where they go through like 24 different countries in about 3 days, or maybe a bit longer, and they're flying here, there, and everywhere around the world? Your amazing race is your whole life, from the beginning to the end. It's a contest. It's a conflict. And I pray today as we work through this that there becomes a greater understanding of what you do and the decisions you make and the time that you spend, that your race is one that glorifies God and it's not all about you, or it's not about the enemy controlling you. Amen? So let's look at today, what is your amazing race? So we're going to go back to Hebrews 12, 1-3, but this time we're going to read it from the Message Bible. The Message Bible, if you've never read that before, it's more of a contemporary version, and it sort of punches you right between the eyes sometimes and highlights, brings a bit more meaning in a relevant way. So it says this. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it, strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race that we're in. See, He's already done it. He knows what you're going through. He has started and completed. Study how He did it, because He never lost sight of where He was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now He's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility that He plowed through. And that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Wow, that's a different version, isn't it? You want an adrenaline rush? Forget the sugar, forget all those other substances. Get into the Word of God. It'll shoot adrenaline into your soul as you go back over and over again about the life of Jesus, because it is the greatest example that anyone has ever set for us. So, you think about your life. Your life is a race. Your life is a contest. And there's a starting point and there's an end point. And what you do along the race, if you're like me, you want to win the race. I don't want to just be in a race to make up the numbers. I don't want to be in a race just for fun. I want to be in a race, and if I'm going to be in a race, I want to win the race. I'm not competitive at all, but I want to win. All right? You line me up against other people and we're having a race together. I want to win it. In fact, you know what we need to do? We need to bring back the old Sunday school picnics. You know where you go after church and you have the picnic and then you have all the races, the sack races, the three-legged race. I reckon we should have a 100-metre dash. All right, who wants to take me on? Marion, me and Marion. Australia versus New Zealand. Some people are stayers. Melissa's a stayer. She can run for long distances. I'm more of a sprinter, like Usain Bolt. I'm quick out of the mark, and I fly, and I get to that 100 metres, and once I get past that, I nearly die. So I can't do the 5Ks, the 10Ks. I ran 10K once, nearly killed me. The last kilometre, I was almost going backwards. I almost crawled to the finish line. So you got to find out what your event is. All right, so we're in this race together. And like any race, like any contest, there's a coach usually involved. So I've got some coach's tips for you today. We're going to look at 4 points. The first one is, in this race that you're in, this race of life, this race that is uniquely yours and marked out for you, is to remove all the hindrances. Remove all the hindrances. As I said, this race is a contest. You've got a good God who loves you, and he's got a plan and a purpose for you, and he's marked out a race that's unique for you. And then you've got an enemy, and his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. So he will come in any way that he can, with sin, with distractions, with hindrances, to things that want to even just take your mind off the main game is and distract you and get you busy and involved in other things. So there's many things in life that we can be involved with, and many of them are good. Family, relationships, work, all those sorts of things, they're needed and they're good when they're put in the right priority. So think about, are there some hindrances in your life? Hindrances can be things that, in a sense, you put on. Like imagine me, I'm getting ready for my 100 metres dash. The best way to win a race is to have the right gear. You got your runners, your shorts, your singlet. You're all set up, ready to go. But if I was to go to that race, in a sense, and I brought all the baggage that's with me, all the hindrances that the enemy has put upon me throughout my life, all the sin that I'm carrying, all the things that I've failed to deal with, I would get to that race, and in a sense, having the right gear and ready to go, I would be there, and I'd have all these layers on. Layers of baggage, layers of sin, layers of hindrances, layers of things that people had put on me, layers of things that I'd held and wouldn't let go of, layers of things that I'd just built around, walls of protection, all these things, unforgiveness, offense, gossip, all these things that I could put on myself. And then when I go to run the race, I can hardly move because I've got all these hindrances that are weighing me down and stopping me from performing and doing what I've been called to do. Can anyone identify with that? We were at Phillip Island recently, and Laura was taking photos of all the coastline, and it was quite fresh down there. And Melissa had, I think, 2 shirts, 3 jumpers, 5 coats, 6 beanies on. She was rugged up. And she decided that she wanted to do a handstand. I don't know why. Often she'll go through life and she'll say, I want to do a handstand. Just because she can, I suppose. Reminds her of her childhood. So she gets on the beach and she couldn't even get up because she had so many clothes on. It was like, it wasn't happening. That's what it's like when you go through life carrying stuff that you should have let go. That person that you know God is asking you to forgive, but you just can't do it. Well, in the end, you suffer. Unforgiveness, offense, sins, whatever it is. The Bible's saying to us, you want to run the race, you want to run it well, you want to stay to the end. Remove every hindrance and sin that so easily besets you. I want to encourage you here today. If you know that there is stuff in your life that you need to deal with and you've put it off, you've avoided it. It's like, God, I know you're putting your finger on that, but I just don't want to go there now. It's too painful. Well, I tell you what, the best thing that you can do is go there now. It's in fact, go there during this service. Whether it's in your heart right now, whether it's out the front later on when we have prayer, please do not walk out of this building holding on to those hindrances. Let them go. Because if they're hindering you and stopping you from what God has called you to do, if it's slowing you down, if it's distracting you, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. Give it to Him. Say, God, I can't. It's too painful. Then ask Him to help you let it go. Ask Him to take away the pain. You got to let it go. Remove every hindrance. The second one is that the race, the word says, is marked out for you. That means to me that that's a unique. It's an individual race for you as an individual. So what does your race look like? In a sense, your race looks like the same in one sense as everybody else's race. Because the first commandment that God said is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like that, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Every one of us, you know what the priority of your life should be? Is to love God with all of your heart. And that starts through a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. And then out of that, that intimacy with Him flows how you deal with other people. So you love God, you love people. Okay? That's the priority for everyone. That's part of all of our races. Then it talks about go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. An authority He has given us. That's for all of us. That's all part of our race. Our unique race that He's designed. That's for every one of us, okay? That's the foundation of our race. That's your calling. That's your purpose. But then after that, it starts to get a bit unique and different for every one of us. Because He's given each and every one of us natural and spiritual gifts. So if He's given you the gift of being a farmer or a teacher or a plumber or a politician, and you're gifted in certain ways naturally, you're gifted in certain ways spiritually, then it starts to get different and unique for every one of us. But that's not your calling. Your calling is to love God and make disciples. How you do it flows out in your giftings. So in that workplace or that school classroom or that neighborhood where He's placed you, see, every race is different. Every race is unique. For me, I spend a lot of my time in a sense, within the church, organizing, meeting with leaders. A lot of my time is spent with Christians. Yet this week, I had the opportunity to share the gospel at two funerals with probably about 250 people. So every week is different. Every race is different. Every person here is unique. What about you? What's your unique race looking like for you? Is it going to plan? You got the coach's tips. Is it going to plan, or are there hindrances and things that are slowing you down that you need to deal with? The race that's marked out for you as an individual. The next one, fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. And that's why I think it's so important that we look to Jesus as our example. I can guarantee for every person here that you have been through something major in your life. Whether it's a health issue, a financial issue, a relational issue, some sort of circumstance that at the time that you were going through it was absolutely massive and huge, and you may not have known how you're actually going to get through it and get out the other side. And the key here is as you're going through something like that, you've got two choices. You can fix your eyes on Jesus, or you can fix your eyes on the circumstance. And when you fix your eyes on the circumstance, it just becomes bigger and bigger and more overwhelming. And how on earth am I going to deal with this? Well, the answer is you fix your eyes on Jesus and you let him deal with it. And he gets you through the other side. And that's the difference. So as this scripture is reminding us, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's already run the race. Even though he was God, he emptied himself of divinity. He came from heaven to earth. He was born as a human to a human father and mother. And he went through everything that we've been through. He had the opportunity to sin. He had the opportunity to be distracted. He had the opportunity to do all these things. But he kept his focus on his calling and what he was supposed to do. And he lived a life without sin. Wow, what an incredible role model. No wonder that the word says, look at the life of Jesus, go over it and over it again. And when you do that, it will shoot adrenaline into your soul and remind you of why you're here and the race that we need to run. Amen? Fix your eyes upon Jesus and not upon the circumstances. And the last point there is how you end the race matters. How you end the race matters. You know, I've known people that have had an incredible experience of salvation and they've come to know Jesus. And it's like they're just so overwhelmed and so on fire. And yet I've seen them just dwindle away and drop off and just completely walk away as though they never even knew Jesus. And I just wonder, how could you experience that and yet walk away from it? How can you start off in a blaze of glory and then just burn out? How you end the race is more important than how you start the race. Many of you would probably know this. Stephen Bradbury, Salt Lake City, 2002 Olympics. And they're going for the speed skating gold medal. There's five people in the final. That first picture there shows they're coming to the last bend and Stephen Bradbury is in fifth place. As they come around that bend, one of the skaters clips the skate of the other skater and the four guys in front all have this massive stack and trip over and hit the fence and then Stephen Bradbury just skates right past them. The gold medal. Thank you very, very much. It was the most classic thing you'd ever see in Olympic history. It was a race. It was a contest. There was five guys who trained and given their blood, sweat and tears for year after year, and this was their moment. And they get to that point and it was as though, you know, 50 metres from home, he was coming last. And yet this window of opportunity opened up and he just skated through and won the gold medal. It's classic. You know what? How you finish the race is more important than how you start the race. And guess what? Stephen Bradbury, I remember his name. He was the winner. He won. He was there at the end. The other four guys wouldn't have a clue what their names are. That's what it can be like. People don't remember who was second, third, fourth, or fifth. How you end the race is actually more important than how you start the race. Some people can start the race really slow, like this next lady. This is Gladys Thorne. This is Myra's mum in law, Shelley's grandmother. And I had the privilege of doing her funeral this week. Gladys had as a child, she had a sense of God. Myra told me a few stories of growing up, how she had Christian neighbours, Baptists, that used to play the piano, and there was this something within her that was drawing her. It was like she knew that there was a God. She had a connection with the Church of England. And yet it wasn't until about the middle of her life when she had a couple of born-again Christians that lived next door to her that ministered into her life, and her and her husband at that point got radically saved. And this was about halfway through her life. So she had a race of 91 years, yet it was a bit of a slow start, and around about the age of 45 is where she really kicked into gear. Because of that, it was so powerful, because Myra and Ray, at that point in their life, Myra was going through some difficult times. And the influence that Glad had on her life caused her to get born again. And because she got born again, it changed her life. And she raised her children. And we have Michelle sitting here today, married to this strapping young lad. Because they met in church. And now their children are in children's church, being raised in the ways of God. All because this lady, Gladys, made a decision in her life, and at the age of 45 years of age, ran about that time in her life after searching and trying to understand that there was a God who wasn't so far off out there, but he was as close as the air that she breathed. And she was radically born again. And then look at the effect, look at the effect, look at the effect. It's a generational effect. When you run the race that God has called you to run, that's unique for you. You know what? It's not just about you. It's about the next generation and the next and the next and the next. But it's also about everyone sideways that you come across in contact with, that you influence. You know what? Some of you people will get to heaven, and there could be tens, hundreds, thousands of people that you have influenced in their Christian walk. And the reason that they are actually in heaven is because of you. That's the effect that you can have when you run the race that God has designed uniquely for you and called you to run. Amen? So, band, if you would like to come, and let's all stand as we close our service this morning. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, your word is powerful. Your word is alive. And Holy Spirit, as you breathe upon your word, as you breathe upon what was read from your word this morning, as you breathe upon what was spoken, Lord, what was preached in your name this morning, Lord, I pray that there's a stirring happening within each and every heart. Lord, that there's a desire within us, Lord, to want to know you more and more, more fully. Lord, if there's people here today, Lord, I pray that you're drawing them, because everything starts when we develop that relationship with you through Jesus Christ. And Father God, I just pray today, wherever people are at, Lord, that there be that desire, Lord, to want to run that race that you've called us to run, to want to run that race that is uniquely ours, to want to run that race so that we cast off the hindrances, we cast off the sin, we cast off everything that would want to hinder us, prevent us, stop us, distract us from influencing the people that you've called us to do along our race. And Father, we realize that when we get in sync with you and we do what you've called us to do, the influence and the effect that that has on people and their generations. So God, I just pray today, may this message be nourishment for our souls. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.